Well, good morning, and welcome to worship online at Alphador Church this Sunday, March the 5th. We're very glad that you have been able to join us. This is a communion Sunday, so I encourage you to have some elements ready to be able to participate with us in communion later on during the service. As a Christian organization committed to the ministry of reconciliation, we acknowledge the harms committed to the Indigenous people of this land by those of us who have settled here. We also acknowledge that the Treaty 7 region of Southern Alberta, on which we stand, is the ancestral traditional land of the Indigenous people, and we are grateful for their stewardship of the land and their hospitality, which allows us to live, work, and serve God the Creator together. We also affirm our pledge to stand for justice and our commitment that our church is a place where all people, regardless of race, culture, sexuality, or faith, are welcome. Together we hope that all can find the true love of God and authentic community. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our Creator, Redeemer, and Counselor, as we come to worship you today, help us to expect miracles. Help us to get past the borders of our eyes and the roadblocks of our mind and the narrow doors of our hearts. May our soul embrace the mystery of your magnificent love. May our hearts rejoice over the unexpected and undefined. May our mind and body sigh with the sheer awe of it all. Journey with us now and always. Amen. Our Old Testament scripture this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 6, starting at verse 16, and I'm going to be reading from the Message. God's message yet again. Go stand at the crossroads and look around. Ask for directions to the old road, the tried and true road. Then take it. Discover the right route for your souls. But they said, nothing doing. We aren't going that way. I even provided watchmen for them to warn them, to set off the alarm. But the people said, it's a false alarm. It doesn't concern us. And so I'm calling in the nations as witnesses. Watch, witnesses, what happens to them. And pay attention, Earth. Don't miss these bulletins. I'm visiting catastrophe on these people, the end result of the games they've been playing with me. They've ignored everything I've said. Had nothing but contempt for my teaching. What would I want with incense brought in from Sheba, rare spices from exotic places? Your burnt sacrifices in worship give me no pleasure. Your religious rituals mean nothing to me. So listen to this. Here's God's verdict on your way of life. Watch out. I'm putting roadblocks and barriers on the road you're taking. They'll send you sprawling. Parents and children, neighbors and friends, and that will be the end of the lot of you. And listen to this verdict from God. Look out, an invasion from the north, a mighty power on the move from a faraway place, armed to the teeth, vicious and pitiless, booming like a sea storm and thunder, tramp, 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 riding hard on horses in battle formation against you. Dear daughter of Zion, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As is a tradition in our church, as you know, we often give an Easter offering, special offering, and it has been our tradition for the last 7 years or so to take up an offering for to help one of the growing projects, Grow Hope, and combine CBM and the Canadian Food Grains Bank together. These farmers in various places throughout Canada donate portions of their land and the crop that grows on those on that land to the Canadian Food Grains Bank, which is then sold and helped to provide food for around the globe and to promote food security around the globe as well. So this year, we are quite excited to be joining with a brand new grow project in Strathclair, Manitoba, and encourage them by helping a little bit with some of the costs for seed and fertilizer and those kind of things. So I encourage you to pray about this project, and you will hear about it for the next few Sundays as we bless another growing project with Canadian Food Grains Bank and Canadian Baptist Ministries. I also want to thank you for the way that so many of you continue to obey God's command to present to Him His tithes and our glad offerings, and the way that you continue to partner with us, each one, here at Alpha Door Church in the ministry He has for us locally. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for the way you have blessed us and for the way you have allowed us to bless others. Take these, our tithes and offerings, grow them and use them and use us for the furthering of your kingdom here and throughout the world. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us continue in prayer together. And so we come, our Creator, God who knows us inside and outside, who knows the very hairs on our head, who knows our thoughts and our lives far better than we know ourselves. God who guides us and protects us and journeys with us wherever we go. We come humbly before you, grateful that you delight in our presence and you welcome us into your midst, and that you are surrounding us day and night. We confess to you that we have sinned against you in the things we have said, in the things that we haven't said, in the things that we have done, in the things that we haven't done, and so many times in our thoughts. Forgive us, we pray, and help us to truly turn away from our wicked ways. Thank you that when we confess our sins, you do forgive us our sins and lead us into paths of righteousness. It is such a pleasure to be able to journey with you and to think about all that Jesus, you went through on your journey to the cross for our sake. Thank you that you continue to journey with us day by day, and that you put people around us to help us on our journey. Thank you for slowing us down sometimes when we don't want to be slowed down, so that we can truly hear your voice. We can truly hear what you are saying to us and help us to act upon that. We think of so many of people in our midst who are grieving. We particularly pray for the McLeod family. But there are many who are grieving secretly. We pray for those in our midst who are sick and struggling with physical health and mental health and just sheer fatigue. Thank you that you are the great physician longing to heal us. We think of many throughout the world. We think of those who do not have fresh, clean water, and we pray that you will help them to find the means to be able to receive that. We think of all the places in the world where unrest is rampant, particularly on the anniversary of the Ukrainian invasion, we pray that you will bring peace to that country and that you will end this war. We think of people throughout the world that are starving, that are hurting because of disasters and ongoing struggles. We long to be your hands and your feet in a place where all can find your love. And so guide us on this journey, we pray, and help us to be all that you have created us to be as individuals, but also as a church planted here in the community of Altador, in the city of Calgary, in the province of Alberta, in the country of Canada. Take our widow's mite, the little we have to offer, and use it, we pray, as you use us. We cling to your guiding presence. In your name we pray. Amen. Our New Testament scripture comes from Luke chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. At the very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those that are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we are into our second week of Lent, sojourning to the cross this year together. And we started 2 weeks ago talking about preparing for Lent. How did you prepare? Did you prepare well? Well, no matter how much preparation we have made in any journey, there are always roadblocks along the way, aren't there? There is always the unexpected. Just ask Dennis, who spent a few more days in Cuba than he actually had planned to because of roadblocks. And often, these are the greatest stories and memories, some good, some bad, from trips we take. Many times we are forced to stop, to detour, to stay a while. And it is often during those times that we meet some great people or we experience something we never planned for. It is often during those times that God stretches us and grows us. And it's often during those times, accompanied by lots of tears and frustrations, that we see God at work in us and around us. God's plan for us is often not our plan for us. And sometimes we quickly see that His plan is so much better, but not always. Regardless, it's usually during these times that we learn to trust God even more deeply. Reverend Mindy Wilton Mitchell, whose outline we were using this year for Lent, says, "What would you slow you down on a journey? A rocky road? A washed out path? A storm? Sometimes caution signs are important to heed, but we still move forward, knowing God is with us. And Jesus did this, didn't he? He encountered all kinds of roadblocks along the way, and yet he continued to move forward with God, as we just read. Roadblocks were every step of the way in his life. She continues, Jesus knew he needed to go to Jerusalem, despite Herod and a history of corrupt leadership. Jesus longed to gather the people together as a hen gathers his chicks, or her chicks. But throughout the scriptures, people continued to ignore the prophets, even when challenged. Jesus sees the roadblocks, and he knows that despite what will happen, he has to continue forward. Just like with Jesus, there are many roadblocks on our journey, isn't there? Particularly in our spiritual journeys and our journey to the cross. What are the roadblocks that show up on our journey? The detours, the storms, the cautions. Why are these roadblocks there? And how do we respond to them? We must continue to move forward with God, following the example given to us by Jesus. But the question often is, how? And the scripture that we just read together from Jeremiah has much to say about this. Verse 1, God's message yet again. Go stand at the crossroads and look around. Ask for directions to the old road, the tried and true road. Then take it. Discover the right route for your souls. I kind of laughed at this a little bit. Because how many of us are good at asking for directions? Most of us are not. We think we can figure this out. Even with GPS, we still get lost. And at the root of all of that is pride. I don't need help. I can do this by myself. Pride. Sinful pride. It's an age-old issue, isn't it? God's been trying to get people to ask for directions, seek his advice, his guidance from the beginning of creation, and for some reason we all tend to think we don't need help. We can do this. It really is true that we rarely learn from history. God has sent watchmen, prophets, and all kinds of warnings, and yet, like the Israelites, we don't listen or heed the warnings. Jeremiah warned the Israeli nation of this. And what was their response? Nothing doing. It's a false alarm. It doesn't concern us. Jeremiah even warned them of invasion. And Israel ignored it anyway. And what was the end result? They were captives in Babylon for 70 years. Just like Jeremiah prophesied. God tried hard to help them find the right route for their souls, but they ignored everything. Do we? Do you? Individually and corporately, we have to allow God to show us the right route for our souls and heed his warnings along the way. But when we don't, we, like the Israelites, pay the price. The rest of that passage is kind of vicious, isn't it? But I think that maybe God had no choice. You see, he loved his people, and he continues to love his people so much that he doesn't want to lose even one forever. So like a good parent, he disciplined his people like he said he would. God always keeps his word. Sometimes, roadblocks and barriers are there for good reason. Sometimes, like children, we need a time out to rethink our behavior or to slow us down and to sojourn long enough to really hear what God is saying to us. Maybe a roadblock or a barrier is there in the road to protect us, like when a bridge is washed out or there's a landslide or something. And maybe God, who knows us so well, knows that we need to slow down a bit or we'll get sick or injured. God puts up roadblocks. He does. But this is the same faithful and trustworthy God who always desires what is best for us. And even when the roadblocks are there, they are there for a good reason. We may not see it immediately, and we maybe never see it, but God knows the reason. And God's roadblocks are for our own good. However, not all roadblocks are God-made. We put up roadblocks too, don't we? Most of the time, the roadblocks we put up are much more harmful than God's and are not to protect us or discipline us. There are psychological roadblocks. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. We get hurt by something or someone and we put up walls so that it'll never happen again. But that really doesn't work, does it? If we don't allow God and others to help us through the struggles of life and heal from the hurts instead of erecting barriers, we lose out on the joys and the love and the fullness and abundance of life. Jesus, our focus of Lent, went through incredible pain. And he is God. He is the God who understands us better than we do ourselves. And he is the great physician that heals. He didn't allow his incredible pain to create barriers or roadblocks. Instead, he used it to help heal us. And he longs for us to be open to all that life has, the life that he created us to have. And this can only happen when we are willing to let God help us tear down the walls and heal. Jesus has been through all of this for you and for me. He knows exactly what we are going through, and he wants to walk with us through it. And he wants to help us avoid the harmful roadblocks. And he wants to help us find that right route for our souls. He wants to guide us into the right path and journey with us. But sometimes the roadblocks that we create not only hurt us, but they affect others, and then they become stumbling blocks. Romans 14:13 says, "Let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another, but resolve instead never to be a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother or sister." I realize that most of us would never want to do something that would cause another person to fall down on their journey to the cross. And most of us would never do that deliberately. But we do. We tend to judge others way too readily. We tend to be more like the Pharisees than we would ever care to admit. Joe Legaspi wrote about this in our Lenten devotional on February 25th, last Saturday. She humbly confesses her revelation about being a Pharisee, and she urges us not to do the same. And if you didn't read it, do. If you did, it's well worth a reread, particularly in the context of being a stumbling block and wrongfully judging others. I always love it when God helps others to write something that speaks into something we're about to speak about, and nobody knows that the two will intersect, but God does. And I think this is one of those. We do put up roadblocks, don't we, that become stumbling blocks to so many people, whether we realize it or not. I hope that you have begun to read the book Our Home in Treaty Land by Raymond Aldred and Matthew Anderson. And I'm hoping that will be part of our Lenten journey as a community this year. This book about the importance of journey in Indigenous culture convicted me over and over about how, even unconsciously, I am guilty of being a Pharisee and causing others to stumble over the roadblocks that I have placed in their path. The same is true for our nation that has been a roadblock in causing many to stumble in our path. How often have I judged my Indigenous neighbor or my Black or Asian or LGBTQ neighbors? How many times have I thought, why can't they heal? How many times why are so many of them addicted to alcohol and drugs, etc.? There are so many ways that I could go on. But have I walked a mile in their moccasins? Nope. Have I sat and had coffee or smudged with them, seeking to understand their hurt and their pain? Not often. Have I sojourned with them and with God? Have I prayed for them and with them? Have I tried to be part of the solution instead of part of the problem? Have I taken time to learn and understand the issues? Have you? Have you read the Truth and Reconciliation Report? Have we really worked at helping to remove the roadblocks along the way? There is such a long, long way to go before true reconciliation can happen in our country and in our world for any of the marginalized communities. It will be a slow process, but we can be part of the solution. Educating ourselves is part of that journey. Admitting our complicity and failures is also part of the process. And it's one of the reasons that I hope this Lenten season can include our journey becoming a part of their journey. Yes, I am guilty of being a Pharisee and causing others to stumble over the roadblocks that I have placed in their path and mine. And see, that's the thing, isn't it? When we put roadblocks in the way of others, they eventually become roadblocks and stumbling blocks for ourselves. The church calendar reading for today is Ezekiel 14:1-5, and it talks about stumbling blocks. It says, "Certain elders of Israel came to me and sat down before me, and the word of the Lord came to me, 'Mortal, these men have taken their idols into their hearts and placed their iniquity as a stumbling block before them. Shall I let myself be consulted by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord, any of those of the house of Israel who take idols into their heart and place their iniquity as stumbling blocks before them, and yet come to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer those who come with multitude of their idols, in order that I may take hold of the hearts of the house of Israel, all of whom are estranged from me through their idols.'" That's pretty damning, isn't it? In this case, the stumbling blocks are in our own hearts. We talked a few weeks ago about where things that take priority in our lives and become more important than God are idols, those things in our hearts. And God is warning harshly about idols, the things that we value way too highly, becoming stumbling blocks into our own lives as well as in the lives of others. And God wants to take hold of the hearts of the house of Israel and our hearts too, and to get rid of all of those idols that are causing us so much damage and that are roadblocks on our spiritual journey. What are some of the stumbling blocks in your life? What roadblocks have you erected that are preventing you from having that deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? This is the season of Lent, the season where we need to slow down and sojourn with God as we journey toward the cross together. We need to reflect on all the sacrifices that Jesus made for each one of us on his journey to the cross. We need to heed God's warnings and find the right route for our souls, individually and collectively. And we need to not only sojourn together, but bring others along so that we can help to call all to find the joy of Jesus' resurrection and eternal life with God at the cross. Let's continue to sojourn together. Let's pray. Forgive us, O God. Forgive us for the idols in our hearts that are stumbling blocks to an intimate relationship with you. Forgive us for the roadblocks that we have erected that cause others to stumble? And thank you. Thank you that you love us so much that you will create roadblocks in our way to protect us and to help us and to caution us. We are yours. And it is a privilege to journey with you. Amen. And so we come. We come to the table of the Lord, knowing that we are not worthy of this, but Jesus calls us to come. He calls us to remember his death and resurrection. And we come knowing that we have erected roadblocks, barriers, and stumbling blocks that hinder our communion with God and with each other. We are particularly mindful this morning of the way we have hindered others from finding that intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We think of the way the church as a whole and the way our little church here has failed to stand for justice with the many marginalized communities around us, our Indigenous neighbors, our LGBTQ neighbors, our Muslim neighbors, our Black and Asian neighbors, and so on. And our failure to show mercy and love instead of persecution and discrimination. We have caused so many roadblocks. So I invite you to take a few minutes to confess this to God and to listen carefully for God's whisper. Maybe pause the video for a moment. And as you do, let's ask God to show us the right route for our souls. If you were with us in person this morning, we are going to actually journey and walk to the communion table. You will also notice that the bread is, again, fry bread, reminding us of our need to be ever and always more and more open and inclusive in our striving to be the community of God that he is calling us to be. But you would also notice that as we walk, there are roadblocks in the way. A physical reminder of the things we're thinking about this morning as we come to this table. And I am reading again from the First Nations version of Scripture, and we read together. This is the sacred tradition that came from our honor chief, a tradition that I have received and passed on to you. On the night that Creator set free Jesus, our honored chief was betrayed, and he took some fry bread. And when he had given thanks to the Great Spirit, he broke the fry bread into pieces and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Eat it to remember me." Let us pray. So we do come this morning, O Father, knowing that you journey with us and we continue to journey with you. Help us. Help us to have a greater, more intimate relationship with you and to bring others with us. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, Jesus, for your broken body, broken for each one of us, and for the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. The symbol of Christ's body, broken for each one of us, and for all people everywhere, and be thankful. Amen. In the same manner, when the evening meal was over, He took the cup of wine and he gave thanks to the Great Spirit and said, "This cup represents the new peace treaty brought into being at the cost of my lifeblood. Whenever you drink this cup, drink it to remember me. For until our honored chief returns, each time you ceremonially eat from this fry bread and drink from this cup, you are retelling the story of his death and its full meaning and purpose." Let us pray. And so on our journey, we acknowledge that we need to tell the story of your death and resurrection, your salvation and eternal life, over and over again, so that it reaches deep within our souls and within the souls of those around us as well. We thank you. Thank you for shedding your lifeblood and creating a new peace treaty for each one of us. We pray this in your most holy name. Amen. Christ's lifeblood shed for the forgiveness of sins for all people. We come and proclaim his death until he comes again. And be thankful. Amen. And now, in your journeys to and fro, God direct you. In your happiness and pleasure, God bless you. In care, anxiety, or trouble, God sustain you. In peril and in danger, God protect you. Go and proclaim Christ's death and resurrection and his eternal life to all. And the grace of God will be with you now and always. Amen.